Good morning. Well, spring is here. It's warming up. And just as the weather is getting really nice, people are leaving. I don't understand that. Oh, well. And our governor has opened our state up. Went into the bank Friday and didn't need a mask. They went and ate at the eatery, didn't need a mask. They're recommended, but they're not required. Let the people decide, I guess. Eh? So how's everybody doing this morning? We ready for a Hebrew lesson? I'm going to teach you a phrase. I want you to repeat this after me. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. B-A-R-U-C-H-H-A-B-A-B-apostrophe-S-H-E-M, capital A-D-O-N-A-I. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. You know, Jesus said, you will not see me again until you say that. Guess what? We just said it. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The Old Testament. Who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus Christ. Today is Palm Sunday. It's a day that we celebrate or we observe Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. This happened on the 10th of Nisan. Today is not the 10th of Nisan, by the way. That would have been last Wednesday if we were following the Hebrew calendar. But it's the day that we always observe it. It's a Sunday before Easter. Easter, in case you didn't know, is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring. And the Sunday before Easter is Palm Sunday. What I just read from Exodus talks about selecting a lamb on the 10th of Nisan. Guess what was done on the 10th of Nisan when Jesus was riding that donkey into Jerusalem? The lamb was presented himself, saying, here I am. Because he knew that we needed him. We needed a Savior. And he willingly offered himself. Our opening scripture was from John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. This story is told by all four evangelists. Some a little bit different than others. But since all four of them record this, that should tell us that it's kind of important, shouldn't it? On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." And that's a good thing, isn't it? I read a little more than, I didn't stop at verse 15 because it continues. Psalm 118, 24 through 28. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee." Verse 25 says, "Save now." Save is, in the Hebrew, it's the Strong Concordance, is number 3467. The Hebrew word for it is Yasha, Y-A-S-H-A. It means save. The word now, his word is number 4994, and it's Na, N-A. It means now. Yasha, Na. It's the Hebrew rendering of a word that we sang in a song when we first started out. It wasn't the first one. Anyway, it's the Hebrew rendering of a word, Hosanna. Hosanna means, oh, save, in the Greek. Yasha means to open wide, to cause to be free, to rescue, and to save. Na means, I pray, I beseech you, now. Save now. The people were calling that out when Jesus rode into town, into Jerusalem. Why? Because they're under oppression. The Romans had taken over their country. They had no say in anything they did. Everything. They were under the Romans' authority. It's interesting because we see Jesus sending his disciples to find this donkey. Actually, it was the donkey's colt, and the donkey had to be led along with it because the colt was so young that it had to be with its mother still. We also see that it says that no one had ever ridden this donkey before. Which makes it one of three things that I can think of that man had never used that related to Jesus. Can you think of any other ones? How about the tomb that he was buried in? It had never been used by man. And the third one? Well, his mother was a virgin. But we see Jesus displaying himself. And yet if we read through his life story, at least his earthly existence, we see that's not exactly the way he acted. This is really unusual for him, very out of character for him. Matthew 12:15-20. It says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all and charged them that they should not make him known. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Yeah, I'm going to stop right there because I forgot to pray this morning, didn't I? I bet some of you noticed that. Lord, we thank you. Open your word for us today, Lord. Lord, that we may receive everything you have for us. Pour out your spirit and your love in this place. We want to know you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus had asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the answers he got were, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're John the Baptist. And Jesus said, but who do you say I am? That's a good question, isn't it? We all should ask ourselves that question. Who do you say I am? And Peter had a moment of brilliance. Of course, it was provided by the Holy Spirit. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Jesus then charged he, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. In Mark chapter 5, verse 43, after he had raised and healed Jairus' daughter, it says he charged them straightly that no man should know it. In Mark chapter 9, verse 9, this is after his transfiguration, as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. John chapter 6:15, his brothers were trying to tell him to go to Jerusalem. Go show yourself. Go show them what you can do. This is chapter 7, verse 4. His brothers said, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do those things, show thyself to the world. And Jesus responded, my time is not yet come. In chapter 6, verse 15, after he had fed the 5,000, Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, and he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He avoided notoriety. He didn't seek recognition. So why here is he putting himself on display? Because his time had now come. Two things that Jesus always did. He always acted in the interests of the Father's glory. And of course, the Father always was concerned with the Son's glory. Second thing is, he always walked according to the Father's word. Jesus said that in the volume of the book it is written of him. And when he became flesh, he said, I come to do thy will, O God. So why did he do these things? Because Scripture said he was supposed to. Even in John 19:28, when he said, I thirst, when he's on the cross. That was according to Scripture. You can look it up. It's Psalm 69:21. It says he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Why a donkey? Why not a horse? Because a horse, a king on a horse is a symbol of war. A king on a donkey is a symbol of peace. And not only that, but it said in Scripture that it had to be a donkey. And he always followed Scripture. You can go all the way back to Genesis 49, 10 and 11, where it makes reference to a donkey. Jacob is prophesying over his sons and over his son Judah and the tribe of Judah. It said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh is another name for Messiah. It literally means whose it is or to whom it belongs. But it's referring to the Messiah. Verse 11 talks about binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. Now that sounds like what he did, doesn't it? Or that sounds like what we read. It was very common for kings to ride on donkeys. 1 Kings 1:32 through 35, King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and they shall come before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. And blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. David lent his mule for the use for Solomon to be crowned king. We see in our reading in John and Matthew, Mark and Luke that the mule was also borrowed there. He sent his disciples to go get it. If anyone asks you why, say, because the Lord has need of it. And it happened that way. They were asked, why are you doing this? Why are you loosing that colt? Because the Lord has need of it. Now, some people think that that might be prearranged. I tend to think it wasn't. I think it was just Jesus' authority over all of creation. Everything was created by him. Why wouldn't he have authority? Is it right for him to take what someone else's is? Or what belongs to someone else? It says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything is his. And I'm sure they got it back. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This verse is quoted in every one of the Gospels. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, a colt, the foal of an ass. I said it's quoted by them. Not every word is quoted. There's one word that's omitted. That's the word just. In other words, it doesn't say. In Zechariah, it said he will come with justice. But in the Gospels, he didn't come with justice. He came with grace. Don't ever ask God to give you what you deserve or to treat you with justice. Ask for his grace. It says as he was coming to Jerusalem, the people were coming out to meet him. They were there for the Passover celebration. By the way, today is the first day of Passover. So they traveled from, many of them traveled from Galilee, many of them that knew of the things that he had done. And what did they want from him? They asked him to save them. To save them from what? Save them from the Romans, mostly. Was there really any of them that were looking for a deeper salvation? How many times have we asked God for things to our temporal problems, you know, relief from them? When the main thing that God wants to do is to save our souls. Jesus wasn't fooled by them. After all, God will not be mocked, will he? Jesus said in Luke 19:42, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. He knew their motivation. He knew where their heart was. If you had known, even on this thy day, what did he mean by that? It was the day that was prophesied by Daniel 483 years before. Actually, longer than that, but Daniel chapter 9 talks about his 70 weeks of years. He said, from the going forth of the command to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, for a total of 69 weeks. 483 years. God is always on time. Right to the day Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem. After 483 years. From the time that Nehemiah was sent to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls. Of course, there's a 70th week there, and that's still to come, isn't it? Now, I've looked closely at this event, and I've listed some things maybe we can learn from. These are just some impressions I got, and I wrote them down. We need to come to him so that he will come to us. That's what the people did. You know, John hits on this from this angle more than the other ones do. The other ones talk about Jesus going to Jerusalem, but John puts a lot more emphasis on the people that were coming from Jerusalem out to meet him. What can we learn from that? That it means that sometimes we have to get up and we have to move a little bit and take a few steps. God can meet us where we are. There's no doubt about that. But if we take a few extra steps, then God's going to bless us even more. It says in James 4:8, draw near unto God and he will draw near unto you. Each step we take towards him, he takes a step. You want to have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ? Then draw near to him. We need to come to him with praise. The people were praising Jesus when he rode into Jerusalem. And the Pharisees said, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, if I did that, the rocks would cry out. Because he will be praised, won't he? We need to come to him with worship. Didn't I just say that? Actually, praise is part of worship. Worship involves an awful lot more. And it's my opinion, and you may not agree with this, I don't know, but I tend to think of praise as an outward expression. And worship is an inward attitude. Does that sound reasonable? We need to come to him expecting. Because he's a God that delivers, isn't he? Expecting healing. Expecting salvation. They knew that there was something about him that he was going to save them from something. They thought it was going to be the Romans. But Jesus had a deeper meaning for his first coming, didn't he? We need to come to him accepting his will. Because sometimes what we get from him isn't always what we ask for or what we want. But it's always what we need. And what we need more. I remember, anybody ever see the movie The Robe? That was out, I think, back in the 50s. And there's a crippled girl there that they asked her, well, why didn't Jesus heal you? And she said, but he did. He healed my heart. And that's a lot more important, isn't it, than healing or healing us physically. We need to come to him knowing who he is. Matthew 21, 10 to 11. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. They knew a little bit about him. They knew that he was from Galilee. They knew he was a prophet. But did they really know who he was? I'm sure if they'd have really known who he was, that their attitude would have been a lot different. See, he wasn't only presenting himself as a king, he was also presenting himself as the Passover lamb on the day that the Passover lamb was selected. We need to come to him with discernment of the seasons. Jesus said, no man knows the hour or day. But yet he also said that we'll know the seasons, won't we? And we see that happening. We know we're getting close. As Bob Dylan said, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. We know we're getting close. I think the people disappointed the Lord pretty greatly. But we have a way of doing that, don't we? If only you'd known, he said, on this your day. We need to seek him with all our heart, otherwise those things will be hidden from us. They'll be blinded from us. In Exodus, it refers to the Passover lamb several ways. First, it refers to him as a lamb. Then, secondly, it refers to him as the lamb. After all, there is only one, isn't there? And finally, it progresses to your lamb. There's a progression there. There's development there, isn't there? There's growth. We start to know about him a little bit more and more, and he goes from being just a lamb to the lamb to our lamb. When we come to the Lord, we experience each stage of progression. Which is he to you? Which is he to me? He's my lamb. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you did come all the way from heaven to Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord, that you drew those people to you. Maybe they didn't understand it. Maybe some of them did. But help us, Lord, to seek you in truth. Help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to seek you with all our heart. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that you would speak to their heart and they would give themselves to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God of salvation. We thank you that you're a God of forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that you would humble yourself, take on flesh, and ride on a lowly donkey into our lives. And Lord, help us to remember that the next time you come back, you're not going to be on a donkey. You're going to come back on a horse. You're going to come back and you're going to be ready for warfare. Lord Jesus, we need you. Save us, Lord. Baruch haba, v'shem Adonai. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd go with your people today and that you'd keep us close to you. Guide us and direct us and bring us back safe, Lord, and when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.